Welcome to Come to the Brink. I'm Zoe Flowers, and this is a space for those of us navigating profound life changes like loss, trauma, caregiving, and transformation. It's about what happens when everything you thought was solid crumbles beneath you and you're forced to rebuild. If you've ever felt like you're standing on the brink, this is the space for you. Welcome. The further humanity moves into the fifth dimension, meaning using all of our gifts and capabilities, the closer we move to the non-binary. The neutrality of poles will balance and dissolve, and we will further develop our magic by rebalancing gender in the world. This will likely be the point where we are finally granted the intelligence we have struggled to understand for thousands of years. The solution was always simple. The struggles we are experiencing are because the limiting systems cannot survive the shift needed to ascend humanity. They must fall away for us to move forward. We're meant to be recalibrating how we see and understand gender. Most of us have grown up in a system where there are gender roles. We know what role gender played in the witch trials and continues to play in the ongoing persecution of women and queer folk around the world. Of the 344 alleged witches in New England, 78% were female. Most witches persecuted were women, because witch hunts were aimed at pursuing the most powerless in society to defend the allegations, exonerated now or not. When men did face allegations of witchcraft, it was because they associated with the accused women. The few men tried for witchcraft were mostly the husbands or brothers of alleged female witches. When we consider all these systems together, we can begin to see a pretty clear picture of where things may be out of alignment, or where we may have one thing cranked all the way up. This will give us a clearer picture of where we may have lost some of our perspective, or where our own balance may be off. So this episode's reading is from Amy Miranda, a good friend of mine, What We Have Forgotten, An Interdimensional Adventure to Remember the Wonder Within. This book also, and the book is huge, and it comes with an oracle deck, and both pieces of material are amazing. So yeah, support my friend. Okay, welcome back to Come to the Brink. I am Zoe Flowers, and this is where we gather to talk about all kinds of grief, the kind of grief that doesn't fit neatly into any type of diagnosis. And today I'm sitting down with somebody I deeply respect, my friend Monica Martinez. And Moni is a licensed marriage and family therapist with nearly two decades of experience holding space for survivors of trauma, interpersonal violence, and generational harm. She's worked in shelters, research programs, and private practice. And through it all, she's been a caregiver, a truth teller, and a bridge between cultures, systems, and silence. So we are going to talk about what it means to care for an aging parent while also tending to the wounds of community. Moni and I have been walking this same walk for so many, since we met like 13 years ago. So we're also going to talk about what trauma really looks like and what healing might look like as well. So this is a conversation about thresholds and people like Moni who hold them. So welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Zoe. I'm good. Thank you for having me. I've been keeping up with the episodes, and honestly, I've in listening to you and your guest, I've taken so much wisdom, and, it's resonated in a way that, I haven't heard before. So I know you have a special thing here, and I'm excited to be a part of it today.
Yes, I'm really excited too. And I've been getting like the sweetest emails and texts from people sharing their stories. And so I'm still trying to figure out like how to incorporate their stories into like future episodes, and like, of course, getting consent from people. But yeah, this conversation is not one that I thought I would be having, I knew I was going to shift away from our work, DV and sexual assault in the way that I've been doing it, but I definitely didn't know it was going to like be like this. So, you never know what.
Beautiful how you're building new connections too, and how people are reaching out with their stories, it reminds us like how many more people resonate with us, and how much alike we are in so many ways. So yeah, that's beautiful, Zoe. That would be an amazing episode just to, be able to like do like a storytelling hour or something of sorts.
Oh, Moni, you already know, girl. I got stuff. I already have. Listen, that'll be the conversation after this conversation, because I have a whole folder in Word about
Oh,
the many facets that this project is going to take.
I'm sure. Never at a loss for words, though.
Oh, no, you didn't. Listen, period. Never at a loss for words. So, like I said in the intro, you and I have been walking this like caregiving role together literally since the day we met. I think in different ways though, because when we met, I was living in Brooklyn. My mother, of course, was in Connecticut, but you were living with your mom. You're still living with your mom. And so my caregiving was like, sort of from a distance for the first, however, until 2020, when it was just like full on, right? But there was always still like the emotional caregiving and the spiritual caregiving. And of course, I would like go see my mom, like, I don't know, a couple times a month and do all the things that daughters do. But like, you have been living and taking care of your mom for, as long as I've known you. So,
We joke that we switched roles. I mean, we're still in the same household, but we switched roles. And that in and out of itself has been quite the experience. So, for sure.
And so I'm just skipping all over the place, which is fine. I'm just thinking about, and I'm wondering, so I started taking my mom everywhere, like once I was back home in Connecticut. Have you been doing that, like weaving your mom into the friend group? I mean, certainly when I spend the night at your house, your mom is there and all of that, but like, have you been in like taking her on any of your adventures, or what does that look like all these years?
Well, I mean, my mom has slowed down over the years. My mom was a housekeeper for her whole life. And so, that has a wear and tear on your body. So, she's been through several orthopedic surgeries, her back, her knees needed replacement. And so my poor mom is like bionic mom over there. And so, it's kind of slowed her down, but nonetheless, so resilient in her healing and jumps right back. And, but it's been, definitely interesting to see how I incorporated her, but in such a different way. But that I think a lot came from also my own journey and making peace with the fact that my independence was going to start looking even more differently. Because over time, as you grow up, naturally you want to be out in the world and you want to do all these things. And I think back and I think, wow, why didn't I ever leave home? Like now in retrospect, I think I should have just gone away to college because I think that would have been a healthy separation for both of us. But I think for reasons that we'll talk about more, I didn't leave home because I did have a lot of that guilt of leaving her, which is huge, right? Especially, between mothers and daughters, I find that that can be so part of how the enmeshment takes place, right? Or that emotional entanglement, if you will. And so, I didn't leave home. I, stayed locally. I mean, but I've always known I'm a free spirit. And I remember having such a challenge as a teenager, as a young adult, because I wanted that freedom. And not that my mom didn't necessarily give me permission to do things, right? Of course. But I think as I got older, we definitely started seeing myself wanting to fly and wanting to do more things. And, it was really hard for her. But over time, we were able to, with a lot of fighting in between and, trying to access. And, also, my mom's Salvadorian, so Salvi moms have a reputation. But it's not always been easy, right, to assert my independence. And so for the longest time, I remember feeling resentful for the fact that I was the child that was sort of, left behind, I thought, and to care give for my mom or to be there for her. And I understood, like this is not my responsibility. I shouldn't be responsible for taking care of her and, and all this stuff. And so, but you become more mature and you learn and you think, okay, like, well, now this is sort of what we have. But in all of that, there's been just sort of like a beauty in terms of coming to this other place with much more understanding and compassion. So that now I think more about, and not to be, thinking about death all the time, right? But I do think, right, realistically, how, our parents are not here forever,
That's right.
right? And these moments that we get to create now that I'm an adult, that we get to have conversation about different things, that's the beauty of the relationship, right? And so now I've kind of looked at caregiving from a different perspective, less of a burden and more of a welcoming, and even I would say a blessing because, the and I'm sure you had conversations with your mom, as you were living with her for a while, and once you share space with your parent more consistently, where there's a bonding that sort of happens. And sometimes, again, it looks like fights and bickering, and then other times it's full of laughter and love. And yeah. And so I feel like, there's nothing that we haven't said to each other. There's nothing that we haven't done together, So in that way, weaving her into my life now and doing things together, she's still a very it's so funny. We joke because she's like, I don't know, how you're my child. Like we're so opposite. I am the people person. I am so, like extroverted, whereas my mom's more introverted. So I think that's also what's made her journey through, her life difficult because she's had few friends, right? And so but yet, like, so when, I said, do you want to come with us? Like, me and my friends are gonna go, I don't know, to Ojai or wherever, little road trip. It's like, no, you go ahead, because I think that there is something like she's not a social, and I understand that and I respect it. But I also think she respects the fact that I need my time and my space. She's finally gotten to that point over time. So it's been beautiful.
They definitely get used to us being around, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So let's, and I get the guilt. I mean, especially when I was living in Brooklyn, it was so hard when I would be like pulling out of the driveway to go back home, even though, like, in some ways, I couldn't wait to get back to my apartment.
Yeah.
But I also just felt like, oh my God, I'm leaving my mom. Like, I felt so guilty, like, just
Yeah.
so guilty. But yeah. So let's dial it back and get into your work, and then we'll flash forward again to this mother-daughter conversation. So you and I met on the job. We met at an organization. We did a survivor two. I did two of the retreats. You did many more for survivors of interpersonal violence, in the most beautifulest location ever. And just outside of work, we've spent a lot of time together, right? Obviously. And so I'd love to know your origin story of the work. How did you get into the work? I mean, I think I know, but for the people who don't know, people are like, oh, y'all known each other this long and you asked your wife.
You don't know.
I know, but they don't know. So tell the folks your origin story.
You know what is so funny? Like I've been thinking about that question over the years because I didn't always want to go into mental health, but I did want to be a healer of sorts. I, for the longest time knew I wanted to, well, at the time I wanted to be a doctor, I wanted to be a pediatrician and all of that. And so went to college, end up taking, psychology as a double major, which I don't know what I was thinking. Girl, biology alone is hard. I
Oh,
was
I
like, what
loved
am I doing to
biology.
myself? I know, as a major though, you have all these
No,
like
no.
really hard classes,
Yeah.
chemistry. And I was like, oh no. But no, but you know, when I did start taking these classes, it almost kind of fueled this like interest I've had for people since I was very young. You know, I remember having conversations at 5 years old with my, you know, because I was an only child. I grew up as an only child. I wasn't an only child, but I, you know, had a lot of adults around me, right? But of course, now I understand that yes, I was wise beyond my years because I was also experiencing and witnessing trauma, right? And so, you know, but I remember even as a young age being so interested in people's stories and the connection and getting to know them. And, you know, and to this day, like I have this interest for people, you know? So I think that I say that I was divinely led because even though I didn't continue with the physical healing work, I think this is where I was meant to be. And so, you know, just going down this path really opened up like just that passion for, you know, just being in the presence of people and, you know, just really, really understanding what they're about. Because, you know, oftentimes, you know, people can be polarized between being good people, bad people because of the things they do. And I've always, I don't know if it's just a natural balance that just comes like with, you know, the understanding that people are all of it, you know, and that even before they got to adulthood and made choices that weren't, say, good, right? That they have a history, you know, that they were innocent babies, like, you know, innocent children that were hurt, right? And, you know, that. You know, you hear this all the time, but it's so true. Hurt people hurt other people, right? And it just, you know, you kind of think about then, of course, you know, hold accountability where you hold it as an adult for the choices you've made. But I think it helps to look at people from a different perspective instead of villainizing them for the things they've done, you know? And then when you hear more about their story, you're just like, oh, that makes sense. You know, so how can we move forward with what you've been through, right? And push towards healing and possibility? Because I think people lose that when they've been deep and rooted in trauma, right? So, yeah.
They lose the sense that things are possible.
Yeah, it's almost like, you know, I see this with clients now, you know, who've experienced whether it's neglect or trauma as children, how they grow up to be obviously very anxious adults, depressed adults, but also there's this idea that you're encased in this sort of world and that there is nothing beyond that, right? Because it's hard to look beyond your hurt and your pain. And so therefore you create this you know, this idea that this is who you are, right? And so when you hear them speak about, you know, their lives and as they continue, you continue to see their growth, right? And you see how what beautiful humans they are and how much they have to offer to the world, but they don't see it. That's the part that I think, you know, keeps me coming back to the work,
That's what I was
right?
going to ask you, what keeps you in the work? But this thing about sort of this containment, it makes me think too about like when people talk about the people who've harmed them, right? As like my abuser or my trauma. And for me, as you know, sort of a, I don't know, words person, I'm always like, no, that doesn't belong to you, right? That person who did harm to you doesn't belong to you. It's not your abuser. It's not your trauma. These are things that you experienced. And so it's like also even in the language that we use, helping people to sort of separate themselves from what they've experienced. I guess people would call me a woo-woo person, and you're a kind of a woo-woo person as well. But you're also like, a certified person, right? And so what do you feel like you mix any of your spirituality with your therapeutic practices, or do you find that your spiritual practices are more for yourself and then the more traditional aspects are for the people you work with?
That's a great question because I've been trying to incorporate more of that world into my work. Initially, I thought, well, how do I do this? But, for me, it's been the use of whether it's like oracle cards or things that just give me like positive affirmations, right? Or some sense of hope, right? In terms of the words, right? Talk about the words and the meanings. And truly that, I think this is divine wisdom, right? That you come across with. So I've had, clients who are also a little woohoo. And so then I'll usually say, hey, can I pull out a card for you? Like I use these cards.
Love
Can I
it.
pull one out? Oh yes, please. And they get
Easy.
so into it. I mean, we don't do readings or anything like that, but I just
Yeah.
say, and yet, but you know what has been a really good practice is closing out the session
Oh.
with pulling of a card.
Ah.
Because in the process of you being in a session, right, like so much opens up. And so it is, for me, and I'm sure most of my colleagues, it's important to close it out in a way where, people are not feeling distressed or too overwhelmed because of what we've discussed. And then you're just kind of like, okay, we'll see you next week, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is a little bit, and then that way, I think it's also more of like, what we do in, healing sessions and readings and
Absolutely.
things like that. We kind of have like a closing
Yeah.
ritual. Yeah, and I
Yeah.
feel that that's really been helpful. And even for clients that are not, too much into it, I have other types of cards that have like, like little sayings, little quotes, and, so I find that what that does is that it uplifts people. And most often than not, it speaks to them,
Yeah.
even if it's just a quote,
Yeah.
that I pull out from a deck. And so yes, I've definitely been trying. And you mentioned the retreats earlier. And I know we've known this, but with the retreats, it was really, really great to cement the idea for the people attending and everything that it is okay to access your spirituality. Because
Absolutely.
most often than not, we see also a disconnection with it, whether it's because it's part of the abuse, right? Or it has been used against you,
Yes.
right? And so even just reminding them it's okay, whatever your spiritual, and we don't have to, right? That's also part of it. You don't
That's
have
right.
to access that, but if you are a believer, of course that's a resource for you, which is so not traditional mental health, right? And how important it is, with the retreats, we were talking about this, how important it was to remind people this is also part of you and part of what needs tending, right? And it is okay to connect spiritually with whatever way that looks like to you. And I really do find that even having those conversations, even when I say, when I'm helping someone through, what are your coping skills? What works for you, right? And then they'll say, oh, like prayer, great. Keep praying. Maybe in the morning you wake up and you want to, create a little bit of a morning ritual for yourself, right? So incorporating that and not forgetting that that is a very much a part of that person's journey at times.
I feel like that's why our retreats were so, like, if we were to use the word successful in quotation marks, right? Because we had, people would come into that beautiful room, that beautiful sanctuary that we, decorated so beautifully with the cards, in a circle or shaped like a heart or whatever. And then we would start off with like trauma in the brain, right? Like very sort of concrete information. And then over the course of that week, it's like reconnecting them to nature, me giving them Reiki or doing readings. Here you are as the therapist holding that space, but also participating, right? That parallel process that we were in, like part we were also participants in that, right? And so it was like a perfect marriage of mind, body, spirit.
And also the beauty of being one, right? Like just basically saying, hey, just because we hold some knowledge
Yes.
that's going to help you tap into your healing doesn't mean we're any different. Doesn't
That's
mean that
right.
we know more, that, you're the expert in your own life. And I always love that.
Yeah.
About the fact that you know more about your life. And that's what I even now in my sessions tell people, like, I'm getting to know you. You
Yeah.
really truly are your own expert, so all I'm here for is to witness you, right? Like,
Yeah.
tap into those things that are very deep, that are hurtful and painful, right? But we're not necessarily leading anything. We're part of a
No, we were a part of
process.
it. We were right there
Yeah.
with them, like sharing
Yes.
parts of our story as well, like.
Yes.
And so I think that that's, yeah, I know that that's what made the retreats so enriching.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I continue to take away from that and utilize in my own practice is this idea that in order for people to open up, they need to feel safe, right?
Yeah.
Like that's that safety component.
Yeah.
And so how affirming it is to for someone to hear, hey, I'm here, I'm riding the journey along with you,
Yeah.
right? We're
Yeah.
in this together, we're working on this together.
Yeah.
You have the expertise in your own life, and I have some knowledge that I can bring and impart. And if it works, it works. And if not, we'll figure it out, And one of the things that I really think helps, is for people to trust the process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And also, we also have to talk about like the importance of the diversity of our team. You know, me,
Absolutely.
Black, you and Maria, right? Mexican woman, Salvadorian woman, and then, you know, our white counterparts. I think seeing that, particularly since our second retreat, I feel like, was more diverse than the first one, if I'm not mistaken. Or maybe it was the
Yes.
same. I can't remember. But I feel like also them seeing us and being able to hear, because in our work, we don't always get to be seen as experts. You know, so many of the times we're like pushed to the back. And
Right.
so, right? And so I think that also was really important, like the cultural knowledge that we brought, whether it was wanted or not.
Absolutely, especially when you think about, but we made ourselves be known, right?
We not?
Yes, we did.
Did he not?
That's the what do I call it? The warrior, the peaceful warriors, right? Bringing truth
Or
and
sometimes not peaceful,
understanding,
or
and not sometimes
in my
not peaceful.
case.
But we needed that, right? All of it
Yes, yes,
is needed because,
yes.
see, if there's not a person that talks about those things that nobody wants to talk about,
Yeah.
then we're not being true to the work,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I was just kind of thinking about was right now when you were saying about how there was more diversity amongst the retreat participants the second time around. And think about just even this concept of retreat in the world.
Come on now.
Who goes to retreats?
Let's
Only
talk about it.
privileged people.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah, only privileged people.
Who has 1200, 1300, 1500, $2,000 to go on a retreat?
Right,
Not
right.
everybody.
Not everybody. And
Right.
that's why I think initially a lot of our participants were like, is this real?
Yeah.
Like, wait, I just signed up for this program through my
Yeah.
community mental health agency, but we're going on retreat where? I mean, and of course, there's a
Yeah.
lot of trepidation, and I
For
understand
sure, for
why.
sure, for sure. Yeah, we picking them up in a bus.
Taking them
We're
remotely
all
somewhere.
piling into this fucking van and heading off into the mountains.
Right, beautiful
Oh
mountains,
my
but they're
God,
like,
so
hey, they could
gorgeous.
kill us here. I don't know what they're gonna do with us.
I mean, whatever you're gonna do, it is fine, because listen, the view.
Oh gosh. And those sunrises and sunsets,
I
so
mean,
beautiful.
yeah, the fact
Yeah.
we were able to also receive that gift and to see sort of the, I would always say like their eyes like starting to light up like on day two or day three when they really like started to sink into it. But I want to just like stay in this like this conversation about culture for a bit longer because we also know that we experience violence differently. We know that everybody's exposed to violent. We know all that stuff. But we also know that different communities experience violence in different ways. And the response to violence is also different depending on who the survivor is. So because so much of your work has been steeped in your particular community for so long, how do you think those issues show up in your community? What do you think?
Gosh. Well, first of all, can I just say, when you said about, we all experience trauma differently, and there's different traumas, right, that we
That's right.
experience.
Yes.
Because, my people went through a civil war,
Horse.
and
Yes.
we as a family were touched very closely with that because my brother was abducted during the war and we never saw him again.
So we know that we're in America, and not to say too much about the American school system, but I will say I didn't know about the war. So maybe you should talk a little bit about that because we don't always get to hear about things happening in other countries.
So, and of course, I was born here in the United States, so I don't have all the facts and histories around how the war broke out. But in El Salvador in the 80s, I wasn't actually, yeah, it started, the civil unrest started in the late 70s, early 80s. There was civil unrest because, like with everything, it's about power and the government, right? And so, there were what they used to call death squads. Would pick up people, kids, teenagers, men, women, no discrimination, and would basically disappear, and nobody knew where they went, right? And there was so much confusion at the time, I remember, because they didn't know whether it was the military, whether it was like a paramilitary group. It was just so confusing. And I remember I was probably 4, 5 at the time. And so there was that civil unrest for, I want to say, it went on for maybe 10,
10
15
years.
years.
Yeah, 10, 15 years.
And also, let's not forget that even after the war is over, you have a lot of traumatized people,
Course.
and nobody's addressing that trauma. I mean, or if they are, I'm sure it's in limited capacity, especially thinking about what psychology, how psychology is viewed in our countries, right? Where it's not necessarily the first option to healing
Of course.
at all, maybe. And so, but that brings me to the question you asked, and what I keep seeing now, especially with, women who have parents who are emotionally immature, who don't know how to express or know what to do with their emotions, and how that's impacted their parenting, right? And I see it even with my own mother, even though she's so loving, more so than I would have ever imagined, because my mom also comes from a generation, because people weren't modeled or taught how to show affection and express. My mom had a loving mom who, I guess if we look at it now from this perspective, her love language was acts of service, right? And protecting her children and providing for them, but not being really affectionate, in an emotional sense, right? And it's I think the beauty of just seeing my mom also, blossom throughout her life. Completely opposite. She is so affectionate and kissy kissy all the time, which drives me crazy because I'm not as, touchy feeling as she is. But also,
So sweet,
but also, yeah, she is. She's very sweet. But also seeing that side of her that doesn't talk about a lot of things. She doesn't talk about her pain. She does. I mean, she does with me more so. And she still has her moments, you know, because there's a lot of regret, a lot of guilt, right, for leaving her sons. I had two brothers, at leaving her sons in El Salvador to try to come and give them, come here and give them a better life. Typical immigrant story, right? That continues to be relevant to this day, and I think until the end of time, you know, I honestly do think that. And so, yeah, seeing, you know, and so seeing the fact that, and I joke with her sometimes because I'll say, Mom, you know, it would be really great if you went to therapy. There's a lot of things that you have not talked about. And she'll say, I don't need to go to therapy. I'm not crazy. And I laugh because I think you paid for part of my education and you don't believe in what we did.
I know, child. My mother be the
You
same
know.
way. I'd be like, "She want to get there? What do I need therapy for, girl?
I know.
Girl, let me count the ways.
Yes, you are
With
a case
love,
study.
with love, with love."
Yes, with love. And so, but someone wise told me you can't get in the way of that, you know, of people's healing journeys.
It's their
And
journey. It's their journey.
so I, you know, I've kind of left it alone, but you know, and I know she believes now because, you know, she'll see me now because, you know, in private practice, I'm seeing clients from all these different walks of life. And sometimes, obviously, you know, when you work with clients or, you know, people who are telling you their deep sorrows or talking about, you know, things that have happened to them, you know, that stays with you. And I think she sees that. And sometimes she'll say, how was your day? And I was like, oh, wow, like I had a, you know, pretty tough session today with this particular client. And, you know, and I'll give highlights. I obviously don't talk about my cases and things like that. But, you know, I think she realizes how much people hurt and she can connect to that, but also understands how hard it is to talk about these things.
Because I mean, think about the ages of our parents, right? And it's like they, you know, the colonialism that happened, like in, you know, my father's Jamaican, so the colonization that happened on those islands, and you know, coming right out of like boom, enslavement, boom. But the colonials, and again, I'm gonna just, you know, the American school system, like we weren't taught all that stuff, like about
No.
all those things that impacted people, right? Until we get older, and we, you know, unless we grew up in it, but
Right.
and so we, the deep colonization that happens to people, and the deep trauma, and even with my grandparents from the South, you know, they never talked about, my grandfather left Georgia, maybe I think he was 18 or he could have been 17. Shit, I don't know, because they don't talk about it. And he never went back down South. Never. So just like the terror and the trauma that our, and it wasn't that long ago that they experienced, right? And so I wonder sometimes, even though I know, like you, my mom ultimately saw the benefit of the work. Like I know she, like the spiritual work and the deep reflection work, even if she couldn't do it, I know she saw the benefit of it. But it makes me think about, did I tell you when me and my home girl were in El Salvador at her grandmama's house? Did I ever tell you this story? I
You
don't
told me
know.
you went, but I don't think you told me
Oh,
this story.
well, I'm not gonna name her because I'm hopefully she'll be on the show, but you know who I'm talking about. So we, you know how we are. So we got up, you know, the first morning at her grandmama's house. And we went outside into, because the way her house is set up, it's like the house is there, and then there's the gate, and then there's like a little sort of kind of like a garden patio, like inside, right? But not inside the house, outside the house. So we go out there with our incense and our journals and our music, and we're, you know, we meditate and we do, you know, we just doing what we do. And so her grandmother comes outside, you know, in Spanish, and she's like, "What y'all doing?" Basically. And so my friend is like, you know, meditacion or whatever, however you say meditation. And is it meditacion?
Meditación.
Meditacion. And she looked at us like, "You girls." And then she basically was like, "Must be nice," and turned around and went in the house. But however you say "must be nice" in Spanish. And we both looked at each other because it's like 11 o'clock in the afternoon. You know, we got up, we had our breakfast. We, you know, slow morning, and then we're just gonna get out and we're gonna just fucking meditate at 11 o'clock. And she's like, "You, Like, what y'all doing?
the privileged
Period. That's what I thought. I was just like, oh my God, she must be these
Yeah.
two privileged little
Yeah.
lovely girls.
Yeah.
You just out here meditating at 11 o'clock in the morning? Like, you ain't got nothing better to do.
And she's like, people are out here surviving. What are you guys
Girl,
doing
what?
meditating?
The lady was already out there at like 7 a.m. pushing the cart, selling the stuff. We live a very different life.
Absolutely.
And it's not easy. There's sacrifices that come with that, personal as well. So let's not like overstate it, right? But we live a very different life from our closest relative. So just has to be like, I think in a way. And I think my sister and I talked about this on this past Tuesday's episode. Go back and watch that, listeners. It dropped on April 15th. How our, the women in our family might be a little jealous of our choices and the ways we are able to live our lives. Do you feel like that's something that you've experienced or seen?
Yeah, I mean, definitely in conversations with my own mom, right? About, when I talk about spirituality stuff. And and the great thing, with my mom, we were born but not raised in Catholicism. Like we got our, we had our sacraments and all that kind of stuff. But my mom, as my grandmother, weren't people that felt like they had to go to church every day to still feel the spirit, right? And so my mom's one of those people. So she is deeply spiritual, deeply connected with God, and has her relationship. And but when she started seeing me, like, go into the sage and the, oracle cards, and it was strange. And it was just like, okay, that's what you guys go off and do on retreat.
The other thing, right? It's like, what do you really do for a living? Like, what y'all really be doing? Because it's a lot of music, it's a lot of dancing. Like, what y'all really be doing on these quote unquote retreats?
So then it was easier to default and say, oh, my daughter's a therapist, because she was like, I don't know how to explain what you do on retreat.
Period.
Absolutely. And also because remember, right, the concept is foreign to our people,
Come on now.
this idea of retreat. So they don't really know. They don't have the words to really
Right.
even say what you do.
Right.
So when she said that, she was very respectful and honoring of it.
Yeah.
And but yeah, so I don't know. I think in terms, but she also, I think, sometimes thinks, because again, right, my mom's a survivor of
Yeah.
so many things.
Yes.
And she has that mentality, like that grandma, right? Of like, girl, we're out here surviving. I don't know what you're doing, having time to do all these other
Girls
things.
doing?
And I think that sometimes she doesn't tell me exactly, but I think sometimes she thinks I walk around life with rose-colored
Oh yeah,
glasses.
my mother definitely thought that.
Yeah,
Oh
because
yeah.
I try to see possibility. I
Oh
try to
yeah.
see, and one of the things, though, that I know for myself personally that I've been trying to, I don't want to say fight against, but that I've been trying to unenroll myself or break that cycle is not coming from a place of judgment and feeling like I'm always in survivor mode and people are out to hurt me,
Yeah.
or that people's intentions are, or questioning people's intentions.
Yes.
Because my mom does a lot of that,
Same.
right? And so she'll say things like, well, I don't know, maybe like watch out,
Oh
people
yeah.
like to take
Oh
advantage, and
yeah.
don't be too trusting, and those kinds of things. And it used to bother me when I was younger, because I was like, well, what do you think? I'm not like smart, I'm not street smart, I'm like, I can't read people. But then, over time, as I've kind of really matured myself and understood where she was coming from, I think is because they still live in that survival
A hundred
mentality,
percent.
right?
100%. Because we are probably the first. I mean, you're younger than me, but I will say, as are you technically Gen X? I don't. You're not Gen X.
Yes,
No,
I'm.
aren't you like a millennial? I think you're a millennial.
No, I wish I was a millennial. No, I just turned 47.
Okay, well, you might be a millennial. Okay, we might let you in the Gen X club. We'll see. You just snuck in.
I was in the
Yeah,
last,
you got your toe in the
78.
door.
Is that part of the
I don't
Gen
know.
X?
We'll let
I
you
think.
in. Yeah, because I guess your mom would be a boomer, right? It's so like my,
Yes.
yeah, so yes, Gen X. So we are like the first sort of generation to do this deep self-reflection and like make different choices, just in general. This is just different. We're just different. And then on top of that, as women of color, it's even more. So it had to be like these girls are going to get into some trouble. Like there had to be some like worry,
Oh,
fear, because they
yeah.
really had to be careful. I mean, we had to be careful too, but you know, they
Yeah.
really had to like be careful
Oh,
of
absolutely.
many, many more things. And so I too, like you, my mother would definitely say that, and that they didn't have the benefit of, again, processing their grief for hours on end with their girlfriends. And you know, I did they have the benefit of doing that? Because a lot of them, like my mom, went from my grandparents' house to my father's house. She got married and she was friends with her married friends, and you know, but fostering deep relationships with women, I don't know if you had the benefit of that. So that's why I say all that to say we just have been afforded a lot of things to help us
And
be able to
yeah,
grief. Yeah.
absolutely. Sorry about that. But also, one thing I wanted to just point out, what a blessing it is
Yeah.
that we get to have these deep connections with other women. Right? Because there's something that happens, and I know when I get together with you and our friend Maria, like there's something that happens that you leave feeling like your spirit has just been like hugged, touched, like, and you walk away feeling full. And I think that it's not, and it is really a safe connection because it's not about rivalry, what is one person doing? What is the other? Like, it's, you know, we have that like mutual understanding. We're connected. We're, you know, it's, and we support one another and we encourage one another. And yeah, how I often think, how different would it be if our parents' generation and beyond that would have had those opportunities?
Oh, we would be totally different people. You and I would be
Absolutely.
completely different people. And I really feel like, 'cause you know, I left Connecticut when I was like 23 or 24, moved to Atlanta, created, like, just was able to become myself. And I stayed away for a long time. And so when my mom came to California, and remember we were at Charisse's house, and I was doing readings for you all, and I was giving you Reiki, I think that was the first glimpse that my mother had of like who I really am and like how people really view me outside of my family.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I can see
She was
that.
like, wow, they like, she didn't say it, but I could see in her eyes, like when she was sitting out there and you would leave the room and you know, you'd get your reading or whatever, and we would do Reiki. And remember, all the cards were spread out, all the crystals. Like such love and just such like mutual adoration. And she was a little bit like, okay, something's going on with my daughter that like I really haven't been paying attention to.
And you know, of course, because in so many ways, like, you were having these, not only these deep connections, but that you were also doing something you love that wasn't something that made sense to her maybe at the time, right? I mean, even though I know you've been in this spiritual path journey for a long time, and to really fully see you doing the work in that from this way, right? Or in this perspective, in this sort of community perspective. That's it. I think that it's the community. Like our parents, and I know for myself, my mom, her community was very small,
Absolutely.
right? And so, you know, to be, and even now she tells me, you know, so my mom was a single mom. And sometimes, she kind of says these things with, I think, some pain, but also it's like bittersweet to her, She'll say, wow, she was like, she'll say things like, because my mom's also gives it to me honest all the time, which is something that as a child, it affected me. And we had our, thankfully we've had conversations around that. So we're in a better place about it. But my mom was always very like straightforward, like said things how they were. And so she'll say things like, wow, she's like, I think about how your dad didn't want to be in your life or a part of your life. And here you have like so many people that love you and are there for you. And I'm just like, and this like it, on my birthday when, people like text or reach out, or even just when she's like, oh, wow, you have another outing now? Like, wow, like all these friends are coming into town. Like, you're always busy hanging out, right? How many friends do you have? And I think she's in awe of that because, again, they're not trusting, right? So they didn't have the possibility of building a lot of connections. And so then when she sees me, she says, "Oh, you're so friendly." But you know what? It's not as simple as I'm just friends with people. There's deep connections. The people that I do connect with, I feel like we bond. It's not just like, "Hey, let's go have lunch."
No.
You bond and you share life together, and
Yeah.
that's, I think, such a such a different experience
Yeah.
from where our parents come from. So in some ways, and one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about, Zoe, is this idea of how we parent our parents. And I
Ooh.
say this very respectfully, right? In that the way we carry ourselves in life, what we've learned about life, how we make connections with other people, how that has been, for my mom anyway, such a teachable moment,
Yeah.
because I get to explain to her mom, like, friendships are this. They're
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
those kind of type of friendships you had where you were hurt,
Absolutely.
and it left you feeling like you couldn't trust,
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and so in having those conversations about, like how I see life, like I think it's definitely, like you said with your mom, they have those aha moments.
Yeah.
They're like, oh wow, like life really is different
Really is
for my
different.
child.
Yeah, and also I wonder if it also has to do with our work. Because one thing, and I got plenty of complaints about the gender, but I got plenty to say. But
Yes.
I have plenty of complaints. But I will say one of the things that I will forever be grateful is we always processing. We're always pulling things apart. We're always self, well, not all of us, but some of us self, like, well, we do as a movement in practice. We do, I'm not going to say self-reflect some, because some people do not self-reflect, but we do reflect and we do pull things apart, language and ways of being, because maybe it's like trying to understand the violence and trying to understand the trauma so that we can be of service to other people. So maybe it's that too. It's like having hard conversations like every single day. I think maybe we just started to communicate a different way. And
Probably.
yeah, I don't know.
Absolutely, because you know what? There's conversations I've had with my mom, and taking it back, you asked me about what I'm seeing, currently in terms of the issues that, people are facing these days, and I was saying like, well, similar things, but in that same sort of thought process, when you think about how we have confronted conversations with our parents, I know that I've called out some things in a very loving way, in a like, hey, well, what do you, perhaps this is what was going on then, or, maybe like, if you would have had this, you would have been, different or whatever, right? So just reflecting things that they wouldn't have done,
No.
like because that is actually hitting too close to trauma that they don't want to talk about,
That's right.
right? And it's not that it's easy for us. But I think because we've lived it, we've been in it, we've heard it, we've discussed it, we've reflected, it's almost like, let's just call it for what it is, and it's okay. Like, it's not gonna come hurt you again. It is scary to talk about these things, But let's remove the fear, because see, that's when we don't talk about things, when there's secrets, when people just don't communicate. Simply a love, and I love you. Simply like I'm proud of you, because I hear that from a lot of my clients that they didn't have that. How much, you stunt your kids' growth emotionally, and how much disconnection is created, right? So when I think about, how we've been able to speak on trauma, about trauma, I know in my family, with my mom, we've been much more honest about those things. And I see her shifting too, where she could actually talk more about the loss of my brother and what that was like for her, even though it's still hard to fully go there. Like she will kind of say things to me. And I've also learned too, because, Zoe, part of living with parents that don't know how to process emotion or how to express is that oftentimes, and at least I felt this way, that my mom would dump onto me when I was like a teenager, and she would get really angry. And I mean, I think honestly, she was going through menopause at the time too. So add to that, but she would kind of like, because my mom was very kind of on the go, right? Like, come on, like, and there was this sense of urgency she had that, always was hard for me. And I think that led to some anxiety for me even when I was younger. And so, and even into adulthood, right? And so I think so much about how, you carry your parents' emotions
Oh my gosh,
sometimes,
yes.
right?
Oh
And,
yeah.
often we internalize that,
Oh my God, yes.
right?
Oh
And how
yeah.
much, talk about the survivor guilt, talk about like,
Yeah.
feeling like you maybe don't meet their expectations and maybe you're not good enough,
Yeah.
right? It really taps into all those
Oh
things.
my God, yeah. I mean, I'm glad that, and even at the be when I decided to like move in there in 2020, I knew that it was for a larger reason. I knew that there was going to be some healing involved, but it, I mean, it brought up everything. And I think that it is important for parents who are listening, because I'm also hearing from parents, by the way, because of the podcast, like saying, hey, you know, your conversations are really making me think about how I parent. And that means a lot to me, right? So I'm gonna just like speak to the parents. This the thing about the secrets, you know, what do they say is you're only as something as your secrets. Being honest is like so important as a parent, and like telling your kids the freaking truth. But we definitely carry their emotions. We definitely carry their fears. Before our call, I had pulled out this book that I used to read called Hands of Light, and it's a book about the chakras. It's very dense. It's this woman, she used to work for NASA, and now she does this kind of work. She went into spiritual work, and so she has like a very spiritual but scientific, she has a scientific approach to spirituality. So she talks about the chakras, and she talks about the different layers of the aura. So there's seven layers in the aura, and in one of the aura le in one of the levels, I think it's the astral level, she talks about that's where the energetic cords are. And so and so the longer history you have with people, the deeper these cords are, and they become entrenched. And so from my perspective, that's why we get so enmeshed with our parentals, because there's literally these cords. And so every hug creates a stronger cord, every tear, every argument, every whatever, right? And so, you know, now that my mom has transitioned, you know, I'll just be sitting and I'll be thinking about an idea will come into my head. And I'd be like, you don't even think like that. I'm like, that's not your thought. That's your mom's, right? Or that's your dad. Like, it became clear with my dad, like, a while ago, because his thing, an immigrant from Jamaica, de definitely grew up in poverty. And so his thing was always about money. Even though he made money, even though we had a nice home, even though he never felt like he had enough. He literally used to walk around the house saying, I need some money. I need some money. And here we are, like living in the suburbs, doing all these things, but he had that that thing, that violence of poverty lived in him. And so I would have these same things. And I was living in Atlanta at the time, and something just was like, that's not your thought. You don't have to live parents' life. You don't have to like repeat their cycles. And so, again, my mother had the same thing as yours around fear, be careful of where you're going. So I was out with friends. My friend, I know she's gonna listen. We had a wonderful witch weekend at her lake house. And she was like, hey, you want a snowshoe? Yes, of course I want a snowshoe. I've never snowshoed. Yes, of course I want to put snowshoes on, go out into the snow up to my knees. Of course I didn't want to do that. So we walk out there, and the whole time, this is her first time hearing this, by the way. The whole time we're walking, I'm like imagining the snow cracking. I'm like, oh my God, what if the snow cracks? What if she goes into the ice? What if I go into the ice? She can't save me. I can't save her. Like I'm having all of these things. And then, because we walked out into the middle, and she's like, oh, you're 100, the water's 150 feet deep. So I just immediately start having these fear of like, or what if somebody does something to me out on the ice? And then I stopped and I was like, that's not your thought. That's not even how you think. Like, this is like, no, the ice isn't going to crack. She's already told you it's safe. She's already told you people drive on the ice. You trust her as a person. Enjoy this moment. Right? And so it's like we have to like really be able to stop, recognize where these thoughts are coming from, where these fears are coming from, and then push through them.
Definitely, definitely. I tell, a lot of my clients who go through those similar experiences, who's in your mind right now?
Ooh.
Whose message is that?
God.
Whose voice is that?
I'll write that down.
Right? Because, the reality is that the scarcity mindset,
Come on.
the fears,
Yep.
all of that is not yours.
Nope.
It is not yours.
Nope.
If, I think so much about when I was first trying, my career, and I was gonna leave my first job, my first therapist job. And my mom's like, "Are you sure? Like you have great benefits there. They know you. You love the work there. All these things," because she was so afraid, because she never had the option to leave a job. Right? She never had the ability to say, "Hey, this isn't working for me. Hey, I'm being disrespected." No, she had to take it so that I could be here. And Zoe, one of the things that I will say in all these years that all of us have been sort of knowing each other, working together, the thing that I find the most valuable to me is that I keep reminding myself, my mom went through a lot of disrespect, a lot of difficult situations, so I didn't have to. So why am I going to continue allowing disrespect and lack of acknowledgement for my gifts, or using my gifts to increase their wealth, increase their business, right? And that is the part that I really do think that, because of understanding that those fears are not our own, and we understand why our parents are afraid, we
Yeah,
understand
of course.
why they were, so cautious in life, because
Yeah.
they experienced some difficult shit, excuse
Oh,
my
yeah.
language,
Oh, no,
but
we curse on the
but they've been through some difficult things, and
podcast.
and so then I think about, but you know what, they went through those things, and it was sad, and it was, gosh, like if we can go back, and I even tell my mom now, gosh, if like I were the age I'm at now, nobody would have ever mistreated you. I would have protected you, which I know I can't protect my mom from everything, but that is what we take on
It
too,
is
which
what
is
you protect
also
them.
part of the enmeshment, and it's not
It is.
healthy, because we
It's
got to
not.
remember our parents are strong people.
Yes.
And and I want to talk about that idea of strength too,
Okay.
but I just wanted to say that, because I think that, we can start operating from that place of hurt, from those fears, from gosh, overempathizing, And all of that, what it does, it's caused burnout for us
Of course.
because we're not allowed to live our lives so freely and be in the middle of a frozen lake and trust the process.
Right?
Right? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and have again, we're just so lucky to have people in our lives to like reflect and like make us think about things, because afterwards, when we were like all dry and sitting in her beautiful living room and like it's snowing outside and we're just like inside, and I just started crying. I was like, because this view is so beautiful. And she was like, but you did that. Because I was like, oh, thank God for my ancestors, da, 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 da. And she was like, and also, you did that. Yes,
Yes.
your ancestors, but also you're the one who had to act on it.
Yep.
Because you could have just heard the message and stayed.
Yes.
Right? And so it's
Yes.
like this thing about options is not talked about enough.
Not at all, not at all. And that we're worthy
That we're
of
worth.
experiencing more than pain and more of where we come from, right?
That's right.
And
That's
you
right.
know, I also wanted to just kind of, because I don't want to forget this, because
Yeah.
I think this is also important, is this idea of strength. Our parents had to be strong because they had to, right? And there's nothing wrong with being strong, you know, self-reliant, you know, courageous. But I do think, actually, that's where I feel like sometimes we get caught up. This idea that we have to show courage by not expressing our emotions, right? As our parents did, because it was easier for them not to show their feelings because they needed to survive, right?
That's
It was a
right.
survival thing.
That's right.
And so, but think about how much courage it takes for you to just let go of the tears, let go of what you're holding and just cry, have a good cry. Talk about those things because those are scary things. I get that. But how much more courageous are you if you can tap into that pain and that hurt and be able to move it through?
Which is a
We
part.
don't always have to be strong.
No, we do not. We can. That's a part of releasing that grief. Is there another sort of process that you can think of for releasing grief from your perspective as a therapist and as a spiritualist?
I think it's also about how connected are you? How connected are you to yourself? And I've had that, you know, Zoe, and I'm still trying to figure that out. because, you know, as a human being who's, you know, in the space of caring for others, and that's, you know, also my career, finding those moments to reconnect to self is not always easy, right? And so one of the things that I've found for myself, because I, you know, and I don't know if this is from the ancestors or what, but I don't know about you, but I have a high tolerance for stress and I don't wear that as pride. I used to, not anymore.
Same.
It's not a badge of pride because listen, what it does to us when we cannot recognize how deeply stressed and burnt out we are. It's not that that makes you strong and you keep going. No, it actually is doing harm to you and you can't even see it. Right? So, what I started doing for, and then just for myself, and I definitely have passed this on to clients is like, think about what's going on, right? In here, like the overthinking, right? Like going down those rabbit holes of worries and things. You know, think about, is that happening right now? Is that playing out right now? Or are you looking into this future that's not even here yet? That future that has not happened, right? And so, you know, you always hear, oh, you know, people have to see the bigger picture. Well, guess what? Sometimes when you see the bigger picture, you get lost in it, which is what creates anxiety. Right? Because it's so overwhelming, because you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to finish school. I'm not going to be able to reach that potential because that's too much, too hard. If you only take one step to your goal, You're gonna get there. But see, you're seeing the big picture. So you're thinking like it's gonna be hard to get to that final goal. So don't look at that. Take a step at a
Wow.
time.
One
Break it down. Break it down. Right? And so I know for myself, that starts with how do I take care of myself first, right? So that I can be there for other people, so that I can be present to listen to people's stories, so that I can be present as my mom's caregiver. I need to take care of myself. And the way I've learned to do that is just be silent, because I constantly talk to people, right? So I just have to completely shut down. And so if that looks like going for a walk, I've been doing a lot of walking because now that I'm working from home in front of a computer, I need to move. And I find that those times are so reflective for me, you know, and I can completely disengage and just take in my environment. So talk a lot about, you know, those sort of being in that meditative state. I mean, for me, it's a walking meditation, but even just sitting outside in my little backyard and listening to the birds and like, you know, and just kind of sitting and being for a second without the noise. This is what I call the noise, talking and, you know, binge scrolling. Like, you know, I try not to do all of that because that definitely sucks you in. But just giving yourself, even if it's 5, 10 minutes, just be with yourself for a second. But I think that's hard for some people
It is.
because they don't want to be with their own thoughts. They don't
It
want to
is.
be with, you know, whatever's coming up,
That's
right?
right.
So, you know, but I really do think that more than anything is like, how can we just for a second pause the thoughts? You can come back to them later, you know, that's usually what I'll tell people. You can come back to that. They're still going to be there.
That's right. You can pick it
They're
up.
here. But how can you just for a moment just focus on one thing? On one thing. You know, whether it or, you know, how can you know, look in your space? If you can't really, you know, concentrate on yourself, you know, just look at your space. What do you see? Describe what you see. You know, what do you hear? Because a lot of it is your senses. How do you reconnect to your senses is how you reconnect to yourself. So, for example, you know, as I'm sitting here, what am I listening to? Cars pass by, right? Like, what am I seeing? What am I smelling, right? Flowers in the garden. Oh, that brings me peace, right? But just even as simple as that, you know, and not that I want to simplify it so much as to be disrespectful. It's just that I really do think about kids. How they just play, how they operate with their senses. They're just feeling, touching, listening to everything. Same thing. It's like, how do you come back to yourself, but to just really see what you're surrounded by, right? And so sometimes when, you know, clients have a hard time, you know, being able to ground, I just say, okay, so if you need to see something, or if you need to kind of take in information, take in your space. Take in your space, right? And so then I walk them through, what do you see? You know, what do you feel? You know, is it quiet? Is it, you know? So I do give people prompts and they practice on their own, but yeah, it is about just even simply just stillness, like being in the stillness that I think is what helps reconnect. At least for me anyway, but you know, I try that more often when I start feeling, you know, because I've learned, you know, what my own anxiety looks like. Usually it's a lot of fluttering and I feel like my throat's closing off and I'm just like, all right, it's time. Like we need to do a heart reset. And so I'm not going to be connected to anything, you know, whatever my process is. But, you know, it is a lot about really learning about your body too. This is why the retreats were amazing because we had the movement and we had the art and people engaging in their own sense of self, you know, and experiencing themselves through those beautiful connected ways.
And eating together and just sharing space, sharing stories, just So, hey folks, if you wanna if you're planning a retreat, call me or Moni. Or me and Moni, okay? Fly me and Moni out. And our friend Maria, too.
Yeah, we're a three pack deal.
We are. We're a package deal. Like, yeah. Hit us up.
Yes.
So, this was so good. This was so amazing. Like, just flat out conversation. So as we come to a close, and thank you for that little meditation you gave, by the way, because I usually will do a meditation in the thing, but you just totally gave us one. What you see, what you hear, da 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 da. Love it. And I have a title for the show, so thank you for that too.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yeah, so just the new question I'm asking people as we come to a close is, what are you grieving and what are you grateful for?
So, what am I grieving? I think I, as much as I'm trying to stay present into my, really in my relationship with my mother, I know that there's anticipatory grief that I've been dealing with for a long time. I'm saying since my 30s, right? This idea of not having her here, it's hard. And I know you've been through it, so you understand. But being on the other side of the loss is kind of like, I don't know that I'm ready for that. I don't know that I would ever be ready. And you know what? I feel that as time has gone on, and I can sink in more to what is. And I was sharing with you how I was inspired by Akike. Akike's testimony when she was talking about how they're still here
They're
and
still
it's
here.
okay to let them go, and how when parents are transitioning, just you letting them know I'm gonna be okay. Gosh, that resonated.
Baby, I'm
Because they
telling
hold
you.
on. They hold on because they want to still protect you.
I'm telling you, like, that's when I said what I said to my mom and like kissed her on her forehead, and she took like six more breaths, and that was it. It was like, I
Yeah.
said what I said, and yeah. And
Yes.
I didn't want to give her that permission at all. I waited like 2 weeks.
Right.
I just was like, I just could not do it. And I still
Right.
never said, it's okay, you can go. I did not say that. I'm not
Because
saying, I'm about,
I'm not okay with that.
I,
Let's
no,
just be
I wasn't
real.
about to say that shit. But I did say thank you and like all those things. I'm
Yeah.
going to be fine. And then,
Yeah. Yes, for sure. And you know what's helped for me, because I've seen friends grieve, one friend in particular who is still experiencing complex grief years later after losing her parents and seeing her in depression and all that. And I also just kind of know, and in conver and see, this is the beauty of having conversations with your parents as adults when you can really hear each other,
Come on.
is that my mom has said to me, Monica, I don't want you to stop your life because I'm gone. And oh, that's gonna bring tears. But you know what? I've kind of taken that, and I sit with it, and I'm just like, she's right. Because you cannot stop your life. And I think what better way to honor your parents than to just live fully, wholeheartedly, whether it's in the middle of a frozen lake or jumping off a tree or doing whatever we do, right? Whatever exhilarates us, whatever brings life to us. And and yes, and I think in the same way that yes, they worry about us, but they also want to know that we're good, we're set, that we're going to live the life that we were meant to
We
have.
were meant to have, and I do altar work and all of that, and when I set up my altar, because I wasn't even able to set up my altar for months, because I just, I couldn't do it. But when I finally set up the altar and I finally activated it, and they all just started talking, and they all were just like, "We're so sorry we didn't see who you were when we were alive. We couldn't see it." And it was just like so much conversation. And so sometimes the transition is a gift, even though it's so hard. Oh my God, it's so hard. But there's also a liberation for the both of us. It is, I was saying it is, it was a like an upgrade, but that's not the right word that I was using at the time for both of us. It was a transition, but it was also an upgrade. Like, they're upgrading to the spiritual realm, and I'm upgrading as a person, as a spiritual being, because they're gone.
I almost feel like an ascension of sorts,
Yes, it was
ascending.
definitely.
I mean,
Maybe
obviously
that was the word.
spiritually,
Maybe that was the word. Maybe, yeah.
maybe spiritually,
Yeah, for
but yeah,
sure. It's
we're
an ascension.
ascending too.
Yeah, we're ascending. Being a
Yeah.
death doula-ing in particular, your parent is a, it is an ascension.
Yeah.
You
Yeah.
definitely go to a new level. It will take you low. You'll come
Yes.
out of it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think that it helps to have people in your life that you can resonate with, that can provide words of comfort and or not at all, and just to sit and just be with you, you know? Because I think, and that's the thing, the beauty of what I think we have, what you have with so many of your friends, is like you jive. You there's a connection there that you, words are not necessary, but just each other's presence. And I think that alone is just so beautiful. What was the other
What are
question?
you grateful for?
What am I grateful for? Oh, honestly, I'm grateful for the people in my life, truly, the connectedness that I get to have, you know. I have friends from different walks of life, and just to kind of see, you know, their journeys and mine and coming together still. There's just this level of comfort, you know, that comes when you can, you know, be in community. And I guess maybe that's it, the connection and community, you know, that you build with your loved ones. You know, my mom always says, like, oh, I just don't want to leave you by yourself. And then she says, I wish that you can find a nice man, like you can marry, right? Because it goes back to those traditional roles,
It
right?
does.
How they think that that's how we're going to be fulfilled. And listen, hey, I wouldn't mind having a partner. Not
Period.
saying no.
That's right.
And you know, I also think they think about they're leaving us again, right? Going back to, you know, them feeling like they're leaving you alone. And I, you know, and I say to her with so much confidence now, I'm not alone. I am not alone. I have so many loving people, you know, that I get to call friends and family, actually family, I think at this
Absolutely,
point,
at this point.
right? Yes. And so I tell her, mom, I said, I will not be alone. And you know, and I even, you know, one of the things that we've talked about, which is what I'm grateful for as well, is that connection her and I have had about talking about life after she's gone, if you can believe it, you know, where we, you know, I say, you know, mom, I said, you know, like, I don't even know where I'm gonna be. Because for all you know, I'm gonna go live in another country. I said, you know, I'm gonna go explore the world. I'm gonna go. And I think her hearing that, I think, gives her peace of mind of knowing that I will continue on and just live, you know, the life that I always wanted, which is a life of freedom and, you know, just kind of going wherever I want to go, you know. And so yeah, so grateful for that. Grateful for those connections. I'm grateful for you, Zoe. You know, I wish we had more time to connect and life
I
gets
know.
busy, but I'm
I
so
know.
grateful
I
for
know.
you, for everything, and not just for this moment in time, but just,
I know.
gosh, conversations we've had, the wisdom you've shared with me. That's still, I know you were saying, like, I keep quoting you, I need to start paying you.
Period. My matter of fact, I'm gonna start the invoice after we get off of this call.
Yes, girl, that's gonna be a long list.
Don't
Hey,
be
just start
out.
with this year. Give me a break.
No. Oh, this
Oh,
was so good. Yes. Moni is part of my California family, honey. California is my second home. You
yes.
know, I
You know,
wouldn't
we
be.
keep convincing you to come over here, but girl, I understand. Stay in Canada.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's real.
Girl. But
Oh.
yeah. One day, one day, one day,
One
one
day.
day.
Yes.
Oh, Moni, this was so good. Is there anything else you want to leave the people with? Any, you know, we've talked about what you're grieving, what you're grateful for.
Yeah.
People want to reach out to you if people want to, like, you know, get services or whatever. How can people connect with you?
Yeah. So I don't have a major social media presence, but I certainly can, you know, share email and contact info and all of that.
Like
Sadly, I
you in
can't
private
practice.
practice, 'cause she in private,
Yes,
she's in
I'm in.
private practice, honey.
I am. I was gonna
Private.
say, Sadly, I can't practice outside of the state of California right now, but hopefully that changes soon because
Right.
yeah, they're trying to pass a bill so that we can take the national exam,
Period.
and then that way, yes. So you
Global
know I'm doing
therapist.
the global. I want to go global, girl.
Global.
You know that's been in my heart for a long time.
No social media, honey. She's private.
Yes, girl. But yeah, I will definitely share my information. And I guess in terms of just, one last thought, going back to this idea of the fears that we hold and everything, be mindful of who you give real estate to in your mind. Some people do not need to be living in here, because that's you're not living from a genuine place when you're consistently defaulting to, those messages. And ultimately, it doesn't make us happy humans either. If we're consistently like living through other people's, visions of us, and that it's just like, no, that's
Yes.
not how I see my life. That's not how I view my life. So, and I know it's easier said than done, right? It takes a lot of work to be able to even acknowledge that you're ruled by other people's thoughts of life and of you. But if anything, hey, if it doesn't work for you, release it. If
That's
it's giving you more doubt, causing pain, causing you to like second guess yourself, which, hello, like total survivor of second guessing over here.
obviously, I mean, come on.
I mean, and you saw some of the worst of that, as I was challenged in many ways in our professional work together. But
Yes, that was
truly,
a
like,
long time ago, and now
as
you're
a long
honey,
time
private,
ago.
honey, private global therapist.
Yes, exactly. We've grown. And cheers for that.
Ah, that's okay. That's exactly
Yes, girl. So yeah, no, if anything, I would say, you know what? If it doesn't do you good, maybe think about, maybe that shouldn't live in your mind. That should not be given real estate at all. Don't let
amazing.
them live for free in your mind.
Amazing, amazing. So,
Yeah.
folks, that's my friend Moni Martinez. And, I mean, this has been a great conversation for me. I'm sure it was a great conversation for you. And yeah, just shout out to her, a healer, a keeper of stories, and, doing the work on herself and with her community.
And next week on Come to the Brink, we're going to be talking with Sherry Pullum, an actor, producer, and advocate who knows intimately what it means to navigate complicated grief. Sherry's going to share a powerful story of losing her mother after a debilitating stroke, after navigating mental health struggles, and ending a nearly 30-year marriage complicated by alcoholism and depression. It is going to be a courageous conversation filled with a lot of honesty, a lot of heart, and I'm really looking forward to that conversation as well. So, yeah, thank you all again for listening. Don't forget to like, share, and do all of the things. As you know, every episode drops on Tuesdays at 7:11 with bonus episodes on some Fridays. And you can find us on all the podcast platforms. And remember, if anything moved you, or if you have questions, or our conversation sparked something about grief, about your own stories, reach out, because none of us deserve to be on the brink alone. I'm Zoe Flowers, and I will see you soon. Bye.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.